This is perhaps one of the most difficult topics to tackle, period. Which is part of why the Makaris are really long. Not because I'm going to read through all of it, but because I just wanted certain Makaris to be on the sheets. You can look at them yourself. There are a lot of helpful articles that summarize some of the issues, not all of them. Alfred Cohn has an article in the RJJ Journal in 95, spring of 95. There's a few case studies by Rabbi Feldman in Tradition. You can just look at it in the Tradition. One on the minhag of fasting before your wedding, and one on the minhag of fasting when the Sefer Torah falls. There's obviously, for people who really, really are interested in minhag, you can read the 8-volume Minhagei Halacha by Sperber, which is excellent, absolutely excellent. Minhagei Yisrael is excellent. He is.
I'm going to quote you.
I do not deny that I like his historical stuff. His historical stuff is gold. All 8 volumes, he won the Israel Prize for it. It's not like, this is Mefursam. But as a certain professor who hangs out here in the Beis Medrash said, yes, because that was when he was doing straight history and he wasn't Magamati. That's why it's good. I agree. But we've already spoken about him and I don't want to mention his name again if I can. Except Minhagei Yisrael, I'm happy to quote. It's a very, very, very good book. Or 8 volumes. We looked at it at some point. It's a very impressive book. There are other ones, Tamei Minhagim, other books, whatever. But Minhag is de Mesubach. Right? There is, trying to understand what Minhag is, I was talking with Alex yesterday, and he's like, if by some miracle you manage to see something coherent, please tell me. I cannot assure him that I did. We'll do our best. Okay, so let's start with the straightforward. Straightforward. Minhag that exists in the Gemara and is binding is what we call Minhag HaMakom. Okay, this is straightforward. This is the beginning of Perak Makom Shenagu, 4th Perak Pesachim, Makom Shenagu Lasos Melacha Barvei Pesachim At Chatzos Osen, Makom Shenagu and Shelo Lasos Ein Osen. If people have the Minhag to work on Erev Yom Kippur in a place where they have an Erev Pesach rather, so you can work. If not, not until Chatzos. Ha'olos HaMakom Sha'osin, if you move from one place to the other, so at least while you're in the interim stage, before you move, but you are traveling, so you get double chumras, you keep the chumras of your original place and the place you move to, but you can't act in such a way we call it machlokes. Kayotsebo, similarly, hamolech. Peiro shvias mimakom shekalo makom shelokalo omakom shelokalo makom shekalo chayav levayer. If you move from a place where the fruit have already been eaten up during Shemitah, or the halacha is that you're allowed to take a little bit of fruit into your house during Shemitah, as long as there is still fruit in the field of that type, or if you're allowed to take apples in if there's still apples in the field, from the moment that there are no apples in the field, everything you have in your house you have to put back in the field. You have to move the fire. You have to put back in the field. You have to destroy machlokas vishonim. We'll get it. You know, I'm sure any of you who are staying next year will be tortured by this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tzei Vavei Lecha Afata. Okay, so this is Minhag HaMakom. Now, if you skip, you can just see it's Nifsak and Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll continue in the Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch just says Halach Makom Shoson Lachom Sheinoson Lo Yasim Biyishim Bnei Machlokas. I will also be Midbar. And this is based on the continuation of the Gemara, that what do you do? So if you go from a place where they do work to a place where they don't do work, so you can still do work in the Midbar, but you can't do it by Yishuv, you can't do it in the city. Because even though you technically are allowed to work, you can't work publicly because that would cause machlokas. And again, we'll get back to this next week when we get to Lotus Godzu. Etc., etc., right? Okay, so he just paskins the Gemara straight. So the Gemara continues the next door. B'nei Beishan Nog, the law of Aslam Mitzur, let's see, done B'malei Shehata. B'nei Beishan had the minhag not even to travel from Tzur to Tzidon, which is not so far on Erev Shabbos, because traveling on Erev Shabbos is a dangerous business. You will likely, at some point in your life, get missed over and get stuck somewhere. This happens to the best of us. Not fun. It happened to us once. It was quite intense. Sort of. I was with a few friends. We didn't actually get stuck. We had a guy drive our car, Ben Hashmashos. It was just fun.
Where were you?
We were going to Harvard for Shabbos, and we managed to get into the Eruv, several miles from Harvard. I don't really know where Harvard was, but like into the Cambridge Eruv. I think it was 120 seconds before Shkia, and we got out Daven Mincha very, very quickly, and then promptly decided, the few of us, you know, who we were just like, oh, this is a straightforward case. You couldn't do Amir Lanachri Ben Ashmarta. So we have about, depending on how you count, 15 minutes to get someone to drive us, because we have no idea where we're going. So we just literally just had one of my friends just started going around asking people, hi, are you Jewish? And eventually a woman with a huge dog stopped for us, and she's like, no. Like, oh, we are Orthodox Jews. The Sabbath has descended upon us. Would you mind driving our car with us in it to Harvard? She's like, sure. Do you mind that I don't have a license? And we're like, no. She's like, no, that's not what I meant. I have a license in my home country. I'm from Hamburg. I don't have a license here. We're like, whatever, sure. It's like, you just have to hold my dog. So it's four yeshiva guys in a car after Shkia on Shabbos, or going into Shabbos, whatever, with a huge dog over like three of us. We drive into the parking lot of the Harvard Hillel, which, anyone been to Harvard? Harvard Hillel, what's unique about it? Yeah, but what's unique about the shul part of it? The window's like this. Everybody can see out. The whole thing is glass. Right? So here you got 40. I'm wearing Shabbos clothes. No one else is. And we come out. It's like, came out dark already. They're like finishing Kabbalah Shabbos, getting to Baruch Hu. And our friend runs out, puts a ticket on the car, you know, like the parking pass on the car. She opened the door for us, closed the door. So this is why it's usher. Big Yitzhar, this is why it's usher to travel on our Shabbos. So, Asim and I have commander of Yochanan. So, the sons came to Rabbi Yochanan and said, Amar lo, Abba sin afshar lehu, anu lo afshar lehu. Our fathers could do this, we can't handle it. Amar lehu, no, kvar kiblu av oseichem aleihem. Your fathers have accepted it, it is binding. Shneamar, shma minit musar avicha v'al titosh toras imecha. Because of the pasuk, which, okay, it's from Mishlei, it's not a biblical command, but there's a value, it is binding. B'nei chozai nagu nevar shechala ma'aroza. The people in Chozoi, they used to give challah from rice, which is obviously not mechuyev to. Also, Amar Leu Reb Yosef, Amar Leu Nichle Zar Ba'Payu. A zar can eat in front of them. Eishei Abaye, how could you do that? Dvar Mamutarim Bachirim Nagu Ben Eser Iyatayra Shoy Latir Mifnehen. If something is mutter, but other people treat it as osir, you're not allowed to be matter in front of them. Amar Leu V'Lav Miit Mar Leu. Didn't we say that Amar Chizda B'Kutai, that it's only by Kutim? Kutoy my time of why? Mishum the Misarche Milsa. Because if you violate what they think is usher in front of them, it'll weaken their commitment to Torah and they'll do other things. Harach and Shinam Misarche Milsa. These people were Amaratsim. They'll also sin. El Amarashi Chazinan. So we see. E Ruban Orez Achle. Lo Nechazar Bapayu. If most of them eat rice, we don't. Doma Mishkacha. Torah's Chalam Minayu. Because then maybe Chal will be forgotten for them. E Ruban Dagan Achle. Nechazar Bapayu. And if most of them eat grain and not rice, so you can eat it. You can eat it without being ravished. Because there is a value to debunking this notion that you have to be mafresh on orez, because you might end up being mafresh from orez on chita, and then obviously you'd be into problems of tevel. Okay, so we have two things. The first case in the Gemara, it's very clear. Minag hamakom is binding. The second thing is, despite that, if something is a minag bitaus, so then it depends. If it's going to weaken people's commitment to Torah, so you don't explicitly matter in front of them. If it's not, then you can, and you should try to prevent minhagim that also lead to isurim. So that's what we have so far. Now again, this is nifsavik and shulchan aruch. That's the next source. Dorm mutarim vayodem mehem shem mutarim nagu ben eser have ki'ilu kivul eminem v'asul atirim lahem. So Shulchan Aruch explains, why is this true? Why is it that if someone treats something as asur, b'minog, you cannot be matter it? Because it's like a neder. Hilkach Misha Ragal is Anas Tania Shelfnei Rosh Hashanah Veshbein Rosh Hashanah Liyom Kippurim Umisha Ragal Shol Echol Basar Veshol Lishcho Zayim Rosh Chodesh Av O Mishiv Asar Batamuz Rosh Alach Zor Machla Sheinu Bari Tzarch Shlo Shashiyat Yirulo. And therefore, if you want to be Mekel on any of these Minhagim, which you were Noegan, you need to do Hatar Nedarim. And then he explains, but this is only if you originally started it with the kavana to do it as a neder, etc., etc. Sibbeis, he adds, not only if you yourself had a minug, and this comes back to minug amakom, but kavos harabim chal aleim velzaram afil b'darim shalok kiblo aleim b'nei ir behaskama elish nogin ken me'atzam lasses geder visyag letera. These things are binding on on that city for generations. And if people move into the city, so they are bound to it. And if you move into the city, not only do you get their chumras, but then you can get their kulas. Okay, so adkan, it's very straightforward. There's a notion in halacha called minhag amakom, which means very simply that if a tzibur accepts a minhag, so, just like a personal minhag is binding on me, if I want to undo it, I need to be matir. A communal minhag is binding, either midin neder, which I can't be machalal or something like that, or midin, as the Gemara says it, shema b'nimu saravicha. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but there's a notion of minhag amakom, and minhag amakom is binding. If you move from one city to another city, so you take on their chumras, you take on their kulas. If you're traveling, you take on both chumras. This much is clear. Yeah. So how does a minhag amakom become? So, like I said, adkan is clear. Beyond that, not clear. It's a good question.
Is what most people do?
It's a good question. One would think. We'll see later. It's not so clear. It might be just what people do. It might be only things that people do that make sense. It might be things that people do that has some rabbinic, stamp of approval, even if they didn't, right? Meaning even if it was bottom up, but it got rabbinic approval, or it would start many different ways. That we'll get to. Like I said, adkan were clear. Beyond that is very unclear, but we will get to it. Please, God. Yeah.
It's only a problem to be, if you're not from the place, but you go to the place.
It's only a problem if you
have machlokas. Right. Hence, if it's something where it's abundantly clear that you have some other reason to not be following the minhag, and it's not going to impact other people, then would that thus say that you don't necessarily get a minhag?
So it depends. I mean, what I didn't bring in the continuation of the Gemara, but this is famous, is that let's say the minhag amakom is to work on Erev Pesach, and your minhag is not to work. So then you should keep your minhag because it doesn't cause any machlokas, because in the Lashon of the Gemara, kama batlani itka bashuke, there are many people who are not working for no apparent reason. If you're working when they're not working, so there's nothing you can do that makes it not in your face. So that's basically the answer. Right? If it's in people's face, you can't do it. If you can somehow fudge it, then you're okay. This is, for certain people, this is how they pass on Yom Tov Sheni, right? If an Israeli goes to America, he can do malacha in private or in the forest or whatever, he just can't in public, right? That's okay. But so now that's stage one. Stage two, what we know more as minhag is what we call minhag avos. Where that comes from is very unclear. Now, for example, if you look in the Gemara here, the Gemara frames it as kvar kiblu avoseichem aleich, right? Your father's already accepted it, but it's clear. What are we talking about? Your right. The fathers, the city fathers, the country, the founding fathers of the city, of the country, of the whatever. We don't mean like your fathers. In fact, there's much contrary evidence. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Tes talks about a case of Marukva whose father was knowing to wait 24 hours between milk and meat, and he didn't. For example. The question is there any notion of minhag avos? So, I put here the Chavos Yair. We will not read through the whole Chavos Yair. It's about a page long. We'll read the bolded things, and then we're going to go to the summary in Piskei Tshuva. And that's why I put it like that. But it's an important Chavos Yair. But he's asked whether he has to keep the minhagim of his father, right? Nishalti b'al Torah v'yarei elkim miram v'mechuyev gamkin linuk prishas v'adnisam sheni v'chamishin nag aviv v'neder kol yomav. Do I have to keep these fast days that my father kept? So he says, well, let's say minhag avos, and not minhag amakim were binding. So if you look at the first bolded part, he says, look, we have to look into this. Dim Kane, because it was really true that minhag avos were exactly like minhag amakim. Heyach matzani yadeinu v'raglenu b'chol dar v'dor, b'chol eiz v'eiz, b'chol shav, b'chol makom. Shei chasidim v'flagim v'chasidus v'taniyos. V'inam b'nam hagim v'chasidus hasam ki gam heim. Yeah. Af ki gam heim sedikim v'yasharim. Many people have chumras, have... They fast. I mean, apparently my mother's grandfather, yeah, my great-grandfather, used to fast every Sheni V'chamishi, right? Because he was like a Hasidish tzaddik, Dayan and Ger, whatever. Like, this is what they did. He was poor. He wanted to have guests on Shabbos, as the story goes. So he fasted 2 days a week, because then he could use that money to feed guests. Again, I don't do this. And he said, look, if Minhag Avos were binding... So what would we ever do? Like, everyone has some great-grandfather who was a tzaddik, you know, was the Rav of somewhere, tzaddik v'yashar v'tamim, tzaddik yisar olam, right? We're all descended from somebody. So what would we do? He said, and if it's really true, you should have, why'd you ask me now that your father's dead? You should have asked me in real life. Next bolded part, but oh, equally tmoa. Also, like, you have to wonder, And he said, wait a second. If I make a neder, or a chumra, so what can I do? I can get out of it. Because I can be matir neder. But we already know that minhag hamakom, you can't be matir. And the B'nai Beishan came and they tried to be matir it, and he said, you can't because your father's already accepted it. So if Minhag Avos directly translates into Minhag Amakom, we have a problem. Because Minhag Avos, clearly, my father could have been matir his ned there. Minhag Amakom, once it becomes Minhag Amakom, nobody can be matir it. So if you equated Minhag Avos with Minhag Amakom, so the second generation would be bound to it, even though the first generation wasn't actually bound to it. And this is impossible. So he says, "Umash." Therefore, next bolded part, "Umash Avadai." I feel beferish kibul olam alzarim lo yuchul chayev zara machrayim. So it sounds like there is no notion of minhag avos, and even if your father has explicitly said, "I make an eder for me and for my children," that's not binding. The nearest thing is, "Daiti devadai krad deshma bni shavicha who asmach levalma." And I, you're going to tell me, wait a second, the original pasuk that's quoted is "Shma bni musar avicha v'alti teresh teras imecha," which sounds like avos. It's an asmachta. It's not really the point. So, in a nutshell, the Chavos Yair, and you can read the whole thing inside, says, Minhag Avos, as we know it, is not binding. Midin Minhag Hamakom. It might be a nice thing to do, but it is not halachically Minhag Hamakom. Period. If you look at Piskei Tshuva, next source to summarize it, because this will make it easier. Again, I put the Tshuva because it really is very important to read it. We said, Kita Kanasan, I brahate the Mashkod Mayan of Chavos Yair, Mabin Mechoyv Linog, I am a Tshuva Zichron Yosef, Mashkod about Varav, Vela, the Ain Haben Mechoyv Lesnaik, Van Hagaz Aviv, Zulad Mashin Snaik, Gam Haben, Me'az, Shehigil, Shehigilu, Avosav, Lohechas Bidarkeim, Val Ofen Zem, Mayri Namia Mechaber, Shekoz of Kabal Zarabim, Cholem, Val Zarab, Tanish Rukvar Nago, Kain, Yoshvair, Vizaram, Veni Kinidram, Gam Lizaram, Olachi Chayavim, Lasot Kitakanasan, Mashain Kane, Emma Ben, Lohis Kalis Nag, Olam Kamina Gatov, Shal Aviv, Eina Ben Mukhoyev Lisnag, Prishazahu. So, Piskei Tshuva rules that Minhag Avos is not the same as Minhag Hamakom. If you, the Maisa, follow your parents' Minhagim, so then it is binding, just like if you had started Minhagim. I don't care why you started doing it. If you started it, so it's binding, but it's no more binding than it is to your father, and it's binding me to neder. So, okay, so if you did it your whole life, so if you want to undo it, you have to be matzer neder. But it is not minhag hamakom. So, despite that, right, despite the fact that it seems relatively clear that minhag avos, what we know of as minhag, is not the same as minhag hamakom, right? There's a lot of dunim about it. Especially not on the personal level, but in sort of the, right? Well, I'll take a step back. When we talk about minhag avos, we talk about multiple things, right? One is literally minhag avos, like my parents did X. Then there's another level of minhag avos, which is what we call minhag ashkenaz, minhag svard. Because minhag ashkenaz, minhag svard, at some point in history, was a minhag hamakom, meaning when you lived in Ashkenaz, minhag ashkenaz was minhag hamakom, right? That makes sense. When you lived in Europe, so the minhagei Polin, if you lived in Poland, were in fact the minhagim of the makom. If you lived in Germany, or in France, or in England, and the minhag of France, Germany, England was X, so that was your minhag. But let's say your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather lived in Ashkenaz, or Svard. You know, if you're from Toronto, presumably it hasn't been for at least seven generations, because everyone's lived in Toronto, right? So then what, right? That is also a sug of minhag avos at this point. It's not minhag hamakom, right? Meaning they move. They move to America, Canada, Israel, right? And all the other places someone might move. I don't know, Australia, South Africa, whatever. So then what? What's the status of that? Is that more binding? Is it minhag hamakom? Is it minhag avos? What is it exactly? So, as we continue, I put a few sources on this. So let's look at the next few Chuvos Negros Moshe. It says, okay, alavad ze gam minhag de'ir tol eich na'asa minhag. So we have to ask, and he sets up the problem. He says, look, there are two types of minhag. Dinei matzinu shnei minyanei minhag. Minhag be'eze davar shechmiru be'eze makom yoser mikvi adin. Kan tzachim reb shenago. There's the minhag of chumra. U'minhag dehu b'machlokas din daraisa. Ge'ha d'cholav d'isra shepligi rabu shmuel erm yochanan vavel nagu isra v'rav kir shmuel v'er tzisrael nagu hezer kab yochanan. So first he points out that there are actually, when we talk about minhag, we really, besides for the distinction we made so far between minhag avos, minhag avosenu, there's another question, which is the minhag a non-halachic minhag? Meaning, no one thinks me'ikar hadin you can't work in the morning on Erev Pesach, but some people have the minhag to be machmir and some don't. The second question is a minhag of psak, which is, there's a machlokes, how do you paskin? And then certain cities, certain countries took on the minhag to paskin, meaning, and this is why minhag is tricky, right? Because minhag simply means they were accustomed to do. So there's things which are purely customs, and then there's, I was accustomed to follow a legal position. Right? That's a different type of minhag. So we have to balance all these at the same time. And he says, look, that's also a minhag. Shigam king yish lezah dibayin. So that too has the status of minhag in terms of minhag hamakom. So when you ask the question of minhag avos, minhag hamakom, you have to ask both. Minhag de chomra yoser menadinu mishum de ikar reshus lamakom kshiron sheik ezet hakanal migdar milso leschazik v'yoser benyane emuna v'kim ha-mitzvos. The first type of minhag, the reason you keep the chumrah is because people want to protect the Torah, so they are machmir. And there are places where they're not worried about it. Or they saw the need, but they didn't decide that it was so pressing they needed to be machmir. Minhag the machlokas bedin umidini hara'a. But the minhag of psak is a function of the rules of psak. That each Rebbe paskin for his Talmidim like him. The kolim shenifsaka halacha b'lishkas hagazis reshai kol chacham ahoros kedaito v'ashalom also shi'chem lasus k'moso bein l'kula bein l'chumra. Because before any, in general, before something is nifsak with the beis din hagadol yoshev b'shalayim, it's left up to the individual posek. So since everybody in this place was his either Talmud or the people who asked him shaylas,
So
So, Ramosha first finds out that we talk about two different types of minhagim. We talk about minhag, what I'm accustomed to do, and we talk about a minhag, which is a function of kali psak. Now, both of those are nichlal within minhag hamakom. Right? Ashkenaz both had minhagim, which they created, such as the minhag of the Rama, quoted from the Maharil, quoted from Rabbeinu Peretz, that you don't give a sandik, you don't give sandakaut to the same person twice in one family. Right? Just a minhag. Doesn't really make sense, right? You know, the Gra's comment is minhag ze ein lo shachar. Right? It's not exactly clear what it is, but it was a minhag Ashkenaz, it's clear, of some sorts. Then there are minhag epsak, that the minhag of the Rama is to pasken like the Maharil, the Mahari Wayal, the Aliatosvos, the Minagin Svarad was to pasken like the Rambam, to pasken like whoever. So both of those questions we have to ask. Well, what happens when we move to losing Minag HaMakom and only existing on the plane of Minag Avos, which is basically the state that we're in nowadays? There are very few things, Bismana said, that are Minag HaMakom. There are some. For example, anyone can think of, I know of one Minag HaMakom, real Minag HaMakom. Two. One is, yeah, Glad Kosher in America is a good example. Right, that's Minhag HaMakom sort of across the board. And Israel is not wearing tefillin and Chol HaMoed. Right? That is Minhag HaMakom. Like, if you wear tefillin and Chol HaMoed on Chol HaMoed in shul, you are over Minhag HaMakom. That is no question. Period. There is one shul that does not realize this in Yerushalayim, but I don't understand. Yes?
Is Glad inherently a Minhag HaMakom, or is it just it's that
we all mean Mimela now. It didn't have to. I don't think it had to be.
But can you make a minhag Mimela as the oil didn't accept it, but all they had was glass, all they ate was glass.
That's not true.
That's not true.
No. The Rav for many years still gave a hechsher to a shechita house that was a non-glad hechsher. And he said that my non-glad hechsher is more kosher than most glad hechshers, I assure you. But no, it at this point in America, it is. It was a choice. It wasn't a. It was a choice. The Makom accepted it for whatever reason. Okay. So. Okay. So if you look at the next source, Naro Moshe starts dealing with the actual problem that we've been talking about, which is that, you know, now in America or Israel, you're not really talking about Minhag HaMakom, so you really have to ask what's going on. Whatever the case is exactly, everyone in America came from a place with a different minhag HaMakom. And the Gemara does have a case like this, like what happens in a new city, so you see where they come from. So when people come from different places, or people forget their minhag, so if you don't know what the minhag is, if you know, and you all decide to bring your minhag with you, fine. But if not, so then you go back to your samach and daraisa, and the accretions are for to fall away. So here too, no one really knows what their minhag was, no one knows what the minhag is, so you go back lukula. Because it delo chamer mi'isr mamish derabanan to lukula. Because once the minhag's broken down, so it's no better than a safek derabanan, and it breaks down, you don't keep it. And let's say you had 50-50 coming from different places. So Ramoshe takes minhag HaMakom and minhag Avos and blurs the line a little bit and says, look, in theory, we could transplant a minhag HaMakom. In theory. When you create a new place, it's not like you bring your own minhagim with you, it's just that you create new minhagim HaMakom, which could be related to old minhagim HaMakom. But in general, you are machriya lukula, because it's not really ikra din, it's not really minhagim HaMakom, you're starting a new makom. And then once you make that decision, so you're now in a makom which is makil. So even if it used to be that you were machriya, you can be makil. But he said, look, I think that this notion that you can restart the clock on Minhag HaMakom and always go Lukula is only 50-50. So, Ramosha thinks that if a community would really sort of move, the whole community would move, so then you would have to take the Minhagim with you. Now, this got messed up a little bit. Okay, so that's Ramosha's claim. Yeah?
Is that the whole community moving as a single unit?
Yeah, as a unit. Presumably, they have to move, or not necessarily as a single unit, but if...
As opposed to spreading out.
If a community supplanted itself so that you would look at this community and say, this community is undeniably the recreation of Vilna. So, what? In certain Hasidic communities, you probably have this, where they moved as a community and brought their community with them. So, I'm not 100% convinced Ramosha is correct. Not 100% convinced. Because we don't find this, but it's a very plausible extension, right? The Chavos Yair said that their Minhag Avos is not equivalent to Minhag HaMakom, but Ramosha is basically admitting that, he's just saying, look, if you take an entire place and just resituate it in another place, so the community really remained alive. So what if you moved? What if it was you only moved a few feet? Right? Would you say it's a new city? Right? You expanded the city? Presumably not. So Ramosha is a mistaber continuance of this notion, which is, look, Minhag Avos per se is not binding the same way Minhag HaMakom is. But were we to move a whole community, so we would move the Minhagim with us. The problem is that Uvda, most places in America or Israel, are not this example that Ramosha picks. Right? You look in a lone shvut and you go to the shul. Now, anyone notice, this is in a lot of shuls. In the shul, especially the new shul, it's very, very obvious. What nusach does the new Ashkenazi shul daven?
Whatever the
chazan davens, right? Which makes it clear that, what did they decide?
Nothing.
There's no Minhag HaMakom. Right? Because here, you can't really say that it's not like 75% of the community moved and they daven this way. It's people got together and they have whatever they have, and no one attempted to recreate a unified community. So, maybe Ramosha is right in theory, but in practice, even this level of Minhag Makom, Minhag Avos, doesn't really exist, because no one does this, right? I mean, some shuls have some semblance of it. They all daven Minhag Ashkenaz, at least in the shul, from the Bima, right? Most shuls in America don't do this. But still, I think most communities are not exactly the way Ramosha describes this theoretical community. Yeah?
So, the shuls and all shuls are different. Like, the yeshiva, even though it goes by the chazan, there's still, like, a space that's...
Right. Basically, everyone chose their different... A shul can choose to only daven one nusach. Most shuls do.
Yeah, but I'm saying here...
Here we have a hodgepodge.
There's absolutely nothing established, whereas here you have
something. I'm not really sure. I think it depends on the shul.
Because here you have something established, like we say.
Right, so the new shul, not at all. The new shul, they just flip the sign. In the Ashkenazi shul, yeah, the sign says Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sephardi. And depending on who's davening, they flip it. In the Sephardi shul, this is not the case. They daven Sephardi. In the Temani shul, there is Minhag HaMakom. That's Barur. And the old shul, they don't have a sign. They just do it. You never know what you're about to hear. Like, it's always fun, because sometimes college takes an extra 5 minutes because you got that addition that I don't know what it is.
You have to get there early, so you would be able to go to
Moshir. Oh, but Marev, you don't know until the last Kaddish. There's no difference.
That's also starting by diving in the Ashkenaz. Actually, Kaddish is not necessarily
a start. Yeah. Minhag HaMakom is not necessarily, like, the broader place. It's wherever you decide to dive in. Like, if you say the Sephardi shul versus Ashkenazi shul.
Yeah, you can have smaller Minhag HaMakom. I'm not sure they're quite binding the same way, but in theory, right? You can create. But remember, Minhag HaMakom, this is a very minor Minhag HaMakom. That's Minhag Tfilah. So yes, in shul we sort of have Minhagim, right? But Minhag HaMakom traditionally is talking about, like, a lot more than shul. Beyond shul, we don't have anything. Nobody cares what you do at home.
Is Ramosha Pius's principle based on, like, a community transplanting itself or a certain Minhag transplanting itself?
let's say 90% of Tinek thought it was Musafah Ashkenazi, they weren't even safe. But they all come from different places. So the fact that 90% of the community thought it was one place, is that I have to adopt them in that, or is it
based? I don't know, man.
They all come from Ashkenaz?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sound like that. Meaning, yeah, I'm not sure. Meaning, right? Because if you left Tinek, why not? If you're davening the shul from the Amud, probably yes. If you're not davening from the Amud, I mean, yes, most of Tinek davens Ashkenaz, but I don't think it's Peshitta. Like, right? I'm saying, like, I don't know. It's sort of fuzzy, right? Moshe, I'm not 100% sure. Okay, now the other person who took this. Very obsessively, was who? We heard a Yom Yun on him for 2 days, 3 days? Ovadia, right? Ovadia really, really, really believed in this notion of Minag Avos basically being a function of Minag Avakom, and he doesn't even go like Ramosha, he just says straight up, if you come from Svard, you're bound to Minhage Svard, and we don't just mean Minhagim, we mean Minhage Hora'a, right? I don't know how this happened, but if you look at the end of this Tshuva by Ramosha, so this is not from the, this is not Ramosha, this was the Psicha to Magna Sharem, which, to, no, if, I forget who I put here, it might be Yabi Omer, it should be Yabi Omer or Chavadas. Dere Ptichai Ne Yadua, Shul Chol Dine Yisra V'Heter, Kibalnu Aleinu, Hachroz Marna Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Agadu, Mari Karo, Asher Mech Malcham Lachem Chafitz Bikaro. And if you look, right, skip down. We saw this already, the Tumim. The Tumim had said that, look, at least in Europe, right, Europe had accepted. Basically, if you were Sephardi, you accept the Shulchan Aruch. If you're Ashkenazi, you accept the Ramah. God led their hands, because you see that they, you know, any question against them, you can answer. Yabi Omer. Hine yadu amashkoz achronim shekol svardi sheose kedas rama neged aras maran sarach kapara. Any svardi who paskins against maran who paskins against rama needs atonement. Vonein berkiyosim vergamkein b'shash hechziku meod baras marad asra majib shabbos. And he really thinks that it's midin koach marad asra, that Beis Yosef is their marad asra. Kum kol mishul asra yikardim eitzim lasus become b'shabbos lachem bevadei shvaartus halalu shem asra darama mumaran zal kavasayim nakin vein lasus midivayim yamanu small. And to summarize, the Yalkut Yosef, v'afilu mei achronim cholkim alav ve'ein amor rashay lahoros lachmer neged aras maran lahakel v'afilu yesh rabim cholkin amoran ve'ein lenok afilu chumran neged maran amekel bosom enyan shikain biskei maran jumar da asrin v'kibalnu rozav nikbu ka'alach almosh misinai shein mamachokas chal v'anotet midvarav yam nismal harei hu mizalzel v'kavot rabosav. So Rav Ovadia Yosef very, very much really denies what I just said and says no. And this is, if you remember, part of Rav Shlomo's critique of Rav Ovadia was this, that Rav Ovadia claims that there is a logical connection between Minag Hamakom and Minag Avos, and therefore if we come from Svarad, we are bound to Minag Ki'ilu, Minag Hamakom of Svarad, including the Minag Hora'ah, and therefore we have to paskin like the Beis Yosef. And if you remember, if anyone remembers this rant session for an hour and a quarter, Rav Shlomo critiqued him heavily because this is not sourced. The notion that Minag Avos is simply Minag Hamakom is just not true. Even Rav Moshe only says if, like, the community transfers. So Yesh Ladon Minag Hamakom, but Svardim anywhere, no matter where they move, even if they move into an Ashkenazi town, they're bound by Minag Habeis Yosef. This is very unlikely. And even Rav Moshe is not Barur. I mean, in Minag Ara, okay, we have the Minag Deposim Habeis Yosef, but if you argue on him, that's not the end of the world. So it seems like, if you remember, Shlomo is correct in his critique. Okay. So, Ad Khan, and now, if you want, again, I put here for you a Shut Siach Yitzchak. It's a very nice, it goes through different places in Shas and the different Gemaras that seem to imply different ways, right? In the end of the day, he also thinks that there's no, that Minag Avost isn't Minag Hamakom, but he does do a nice job analyzing the Gemaras and seeing whether this is true. His conclusion is that it isn't, but you read it inside. So to summarize what we have so far, okay? So we have Two things. We started, well, a few things. First, we started with the notion of minhag ha-makom. Minhag ha-makom is clearly binding. As Rav Moshe said, there's two types of minhag ha-makom. There's minhag ha-makom, meaning we take on a custom, which is non-halachic. The second thing is that we take on, we accustom ourselves to following a certain psak. So we have to ask whether either of those, or both of those, transfer logically to minhag avos. And the Chavos Yair, as we saw in Nifsak and Pesachei Tshuva, says no. The minhag avos does not exactly translate from minhag ha-makom. Minhag avos, if I follow my father's minhag, fine, but otherwise, it's not halachically binding in the same way. Minhag ha-makom is. On the other hand, if a community would shift, so Rav Moshe says that then I could recreate minhag ha-makom. Rav Ovadia really, really thinks that minhag avos is in some sense the same as minhag ha-makom, and this is very problematic, and he means this both in terms of minhagim, and more importantly for him, in terms of minhagei hora, and therefore thinks that no Sephardi can ever be cholek on the Beis Yosef. But again, this seems to be a dachuk conclusion. Okay, I put some other people here who believe who believe in this notion of minhag avos being minhag ha-makom. The Divrei Yatziv here believes that. Okay. So now if you go, if you continue here, I put, you know, a lot of Rav Moshe's that deal with these questions. We can run through them a little bit. And he says, look, Rav Moshe, let's say you have a minhag and you want to be matir. Hine in balash, takeh, b'makom, shenagin heter, v'in da'ed lachzor, huter, d'yesh lo din ha-makom, shenik, v'yishiv asaf l'kula. So he somewhat recognized minhag avos, but he recognizes that minhag ha-makom is much more powerful. So he said, it's very simple. The easiest way to make sure that you don't have to keep your minhag ha-makom or minhag avos is to move. If you don't want to keep your father's minhag, but you're seventh generation Toronto, I'm sorry I keep making fun of you. I'm not really making fun of you. I'm really... I still have not gotten used to Ara's family having been in Toronto since, like, you know, God knows when. Which is not... I've known people who, you know, are more grounded in places than that. There's someone in Yeshiva, I won't say who, but his family's from the South since, you know...
The Civil War.
Since before the Civil War, but also they have Shtari Shechor, Shtari of Evit Kanani in their family. Anyways, we won't get this on tape. You can ask me later. But...
My step-siblings are like that. I don't know about
Shnari Shipper
or Evan
County,
but their family's been in the South since
before the Civil
War. There you go. Minhag,
whatever.
Minhag hunting.
What?
Minhag hunting.
Exactly. V'minhag v'komo e'gam g'lagav r'afat. V'rak aviv. And if your father kept a minhag and you didn't, so if you kept it, you have to. If not, not. Okay, next one. A classic case that comes up, of especially minhag avos, is a talmid and yeshiva. Right? This is a classic problem. So Rav Moshe deals with a v'dara talmid and yeshiva yesh minhagim achirim v'yis aviv v'yeshiva yesh minhagim achirim hinei v'yis asma hu b'tzina sheyachol esnai k'minhagi v'yis aviv v'yeshiva mochik l'esnai k'minhagi yeshiva. So when he's home, he can do his own minhagim, but look, at the end of the day, minhag avos is not strong enough that you should be able to break even a local minhag ha-makom, which is basically what minhagi yeshiva are. Okay, the next tshuva, I don't want to get bogged down in it, but I left it here for you. One second. This is a classic question, is the question of, okay, when we're deciding minhagim, so this is all nice for all of you, what happens when you get married? Right? Who takes what? Rav Moshe here substantiates his claim that, what happens? Take a wild guess. What? The woman takes the man's minhag. Right, okay, you can read the tshuva of Rav Moshe, and how he justifies it. He actually thinks it's a din minhag ha-makom because you move into your husband's house, and ain't, if you look at his last line, last paragraph, there is no greater moving mimakom lamakom, so she is not bound to her husband's minhagim, and this presumably applies also to psak. There is something to it. I know certain poskim are very into this, Roy Willig is very into this, that everyone in the family has to keep the same, or at least him and his wife have to keep the same minhag of psak, because, look, you need a unified front. There's no fundamental reason why it has to be one way over the other, like husband over wife over husband, fundamentally, but usually the minhag has been to go this way. Not always. The same is true with last names, right? Most people, if they change their name, they take the husband's name. I've known kids where that wasn't the case, you know, including in the Haredi world. One of the most Haredi poskim in the world is took his wife's name. I don't blame him. He married into the Chazanish's family and decided it was nicer to be Karelitz. Renison Karelitz is, that's not his name, it's his wife's name. But, look, if I married into Chazanish's family, I'd also do
he
that.
Took his wife's name?
Yeah. And it's very, very liberal. Very, very liberal. It's like, yeah.
So funny.
The Chazanish is rolling over in his grave. Okay. okay. But, yeah. Matthew.
In terms of yeshiva and also possibly with marriage, it seems that...
Same thing, as we know. You need a get when you break up from a chavrusa.
So originally...
It's a good thing about recordings. They don't know who I'm looking at.
when we first talked about Pnei Gamakom, so we said you have to take the minhag and keep your own minhag. Here it sounds like it's a different smile. It's not that you will become part of the makom, but there's a problem with it's good.
Yes, and that, we will get to it. But that's, right, as you see, one of the things that binds minhag makom is... simply the fact that it is minhag makom.
Right? Is that different from minhag makom or the same? Because here we're saying in yeshiva, you can daka even not fulfill.
I think they're related. They're related, but not the same. Meaning, what we're talking about this week mostly, though I'm already hinting at it, is the positive aspect of minhag, right? Which we haven't even gotten to why it's binding yet, but we'll spend a little bit of time on it. But yeah, I mean, every minhag has the two sides to it. One is why it's positively binding. The second one is why you aren't allowed to diverge from it. But yeah, okay. Fine. So, again, so to summarize what we're up to so far, and then we'll move to the last thing. Classically, minhag meant minhag hamakom. Minhag is binding in the makom. Whether it carries over to avos, very unclear. When we're talking about minhag, we're talking about two things. One is minhagim that are pure customs. The second thing is minhagi hara, a custom to paskin in a certain way. So minhag hamakom covers both of them. Minhag avos probably doesn't, except maybe in Ramosha's case. Rabbi Avadi really thinks it does, but this is already very difficult. So, and then we got into a few questions, right? Even if you have a minhag, and even if we think you should keep it, you shouldn't do it keneged. Other people will get more into that when we get to let's go to next week. Who takes it, husband or wife? Again, Ramosha says, husband, I'm not convinced this is the case. Like in my house, we don't follow the same psakim, right? That's not the decision we made. Also, Ora wouldn't follow all of my psakim. Like, you know, Ora is firmer than I am. She is not going to make ha'etz on chocolate. You know, like it's just not happening. She's not going to, you know, go against all of, I make ha'etz on chocolate.
Does that make her firmer?
Meaning, she follows the minhag, oilam, you know, like whatever.
Shouldn't you just do that on dark chocolate?
No, I make it a milk chocolate also, but whatever it is, not important. Whatever. Yeah.
The distinction that Moshe make between minhag to follow certain psak and minhag to do something additional, how does that play out in when the community transplants itself? He says that the community,
presumably the same thing.
In both cases,
so the same thing. Yeah.
So then the distinction doesn't apply. Like, what's the
meaning? If in fact a whole community would transplant itself, presumably would have to follow the same psakim that they used to, according to Moshe.
Would they have to follow the same like additional? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Meaning, presumably both of those would follow. The problem is that very few communities are actually what Ramosha is talking about. Meaning, it's very nice to talk about this.
Why do we make the distinction if it's this?
We don't make a distinction. I'm saying I think both of those could carry over.
Oh.
You know, I think Rabbi Avadia is an extension that any Sephardi anywhere, even if they don't create a new Sephardi community, is bound to both of those minhagim is very unlikely. Okay. Fine. The last thing I want to deal with, though, is to focus on this question of minhagi hara. So what we've talked about so far is simply there's a minhag to either a minhag makom or minhag avos, if you think it's binding, to follow a certain psak or to follow a certain mode of psak. If you remember, right, the general thing we've been talking about the last few weeks is psikat halacha b'sharat chak. Not every time you have a minhag to pask in a certain way is that the most likely psak. And if in fact it's wrong, you wouldn't follow it, right? But if you look, for example, the last Ramosha I have here, he says of Etzem, Lenny Mashadir Tarash, Shinagur Lazar negative Yeshua, Kremer negative Yehuda Shiksha, Yachal Hakel Shelter, Lokasha Klaal, Khadam Sino Kamanim Ship, Nifsak, Gumar Kosayo, Lachin Apazel, Hibsik, Gumar, Ipsik, Haka Kosayo, Lachin, etc. Last two lines, Afla Shach, Sofsu and Rachman Bays, Sha'af Vishas at Chak, Losam Kinal Yachin, Negat Rabbin Bidar Aisa, One of the things you do in Minag is Minag Hora'a, just like other Shazat Chag, give, what does it really mean? What does it mean to have a Minag to Pask in a certain way? It means that that is a strong bias to Pask in that way. If it was wrong, it would be wrong and you couldn't Pask in that way. But just like we saw in previous weeks, that let's say something is not the most likely read, but you have a tremendous amount of counter pressure pushing you to read the halacha that way or interpret the halacha that way. The last factor that we'll talk about really this week and next week that pushes you to interpret a certain way is minhag. And here again, I don't mean minhag amakom in the sense of extra minhagim. I mean minhag amakom in the sense of minhagei hora'a. Now this type, I think, is true both for Minhag HaMakom, and here I think it is true in Minhag Avos, because we're no longer talking about formal halacha. What are we talking about? We're talking about what am I predisposed to do? I mean, right, what we were talking about the last few weeks is Shas HaTchak always, there's a balance. How likely or unlikely is this read, and how much is the counter pressure, or the pressure? In terms of Minhag HaRa'ah, I don't think Rabbi Avadia is right in the sense that it's absolutely binding that I must follow the Beis Yosef. But I do think that Pachot Yoter, someone who's Ashkenazi in the sense that he follows Minhag Ashkenaz, I don't think it's binding in the sense of Minhag HaMakom, but I think it's hard to deny that it shouldn't give him that he shouldn't be predisposed to following the Psak of the Ramah and the Minhag Ashkenaz. Especially since, even when we've transplanted ourselves, that has remained for Pachot Yoter the Minhag. Now, it's not binding in the way that Minhag HaMakom is, that let's say Wattman decided for some reason he wanted to be Svardi. So he said, you know what? I'm going to follow all the Svardi Psakim. So there's nothing in Halacha that I could say, the Fianis Daiti, you have to matter some neders, but whatever, that would say that that's usser. In Minhag HaMakom, you can't do that. Right? If you were in a Makom, one person can't choose to switch. But when we're talking Minhag Psak, not in the context of Minhag HaMakom, so there may be a predisposition for an Ashkenazi to pass my Yeromad, a Sephardi to pass my Beis Yosef, but there's no particular reason why he can't change his mind systematically. He can't be arbitrary about it. So here I think, once we're already talking on the level of not formal, am I bound to this Minhag in a very hard sense, but is it something that can push me to interpret Halacha in a certain way, meaning judge the Minhag favorably, and the Minhag of Psak favorably, that I think is true even on the level of Minhag Avos. Because it can, in fact, whether it's halakhically binding or not, push you to assume this is right unless you have reason, really good reason to believe otherwise. Now this is true both on the level of Ashkenaz Svard, but more importantly it's true on the level of what we call Minhag Yisrael. Because when we're coming to Klal Yehora'ah, there's that third level. It's not just Minhag HaMakom, not just Minhag Avos, but it's Minhag Gantz Klal Yisrael. That's a much stronger Minhag, and that exists a lot in Psak. For example, if you look in the next source, in Aruch HaShulchan, Aruch HaShulchan says in many places that, here he's talking about Tefillin, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So he says, there's a machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi. Which Tefillin do you wear, and which one can be Yotzei or Bracha? And he says, Al Kopanim Nireh. That even those who wore the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam made a bracha on Rashi's tefillin. The Rambam mispalim b'hem and they daven with it. Kiilu baskal yatzah dechein halacha, as if a heavenly voice had come out from the heavens and said, "This is how we paskin." Now, doesn't mean we always paskin that way. But it does mean that Minhag Yisrael, more even than Minhag Avos, in terms of Klal Yehora'ah, is a very, very strong reason to pask in a certain way, even if it's not the most likely read of the sugya. If it's totally wrong, so it's totally wrong. It's Minhag B'Taos. But if not, so we always have a disposition towards paskening like the Minhag. The Gemara in two places notes this. If you look here, the Gemara in Eruvin,
For example, one case says, Hilchas Amai, what is the halacha? Amarle, Pukhazim Ayam Adavar. Go out and see what people do. You just go to the next page for a moment, the last Gemara on the page, the Gemara in Pesachim Samach Vav, Amarlein, Halacha Zu Shachachdi, Shamadi V'Shachachdi. He said, look, I forgot the halacha. I don't know whether what Klal Yisrael is doing now is right or wrong. So he said, Ela Hanach Lan Yisrael, let B'nai Yisrael be, Im Ein Nevi'im Heim, B'nai Nevi'im Heim. If they're not prophets, they're the children of prophets. Meaning, look, Minag Yisrael is itself a strong factor in Pesach. If you remember all the way at the beginning of the year, that there are three parts to Pesach. There's the interpretation of the original sources, there's precedent, and then there's Minag. Minag is something that pulls people to interpret sugyas in certain way, especially that Minag is not just Minag Ashkenaz, but is Minag Yisrael. Reuven and...
So, for example, this example in the reverse,
That's a very good question. What was pushing in there? That's a long story for Kashos. What allowed him to is an interesting question, right? That's really the marginal question. I don't know, right? And certain people still have never accepted that, right? The Dutch people still don't, right? It's look, whether the Ramah was justified or not, we now accept it, and so what can you do, right? What justified the Ramah doing is an interesting question. And again, there's no, I can't really draw, you know, lines in the sand, but I don't have a great answer for it. You know, it's a, again, it's a predisposition. It's not absolute.
With this story, couldn't you say that it's not he's being influenced by the people, what they do. It's more, since they're doing it, they're probably right.
No. In a Hanami, meaning, but that is being influenced, right? Meaning, that's what I...
It's more of a Megawa than a...
That's fine, but, meaning, yes, but Hilchaz Amai, Puk Chazi, Maya Madavar, meaning the fact that the Minog follows this predisposes me to believe that it's correct. That's a Megala, right? Not right. It doesn't make it right. It makes me assume that it's right and forces me to interpret the halacha in that way, even if I didn't know what it was. And that's exactly the point.
We always do that, or sometimes Minog is actually the deciding factor?
Yesh v'yesh. Right? Meaning, as we point out, there are two types of Minog that we're playing with. One is Minog, which is not based on halacha. It's just a custom. And there, Minog is koveya. Sometimes it's Minog to follow a certain position, then it's Minog for, right, pushes our hands to, forces our hands to follow a certain Minog, right, a certain Psak.
So what allows the Shulchan Aruch to pass on like different people in different cases? If we say that each individual community with an individual...
No, because that, meaning, there was no, meaning, it's not like everybody in each town followed, like the Rosh, everybody followed the Rosh, meaning maybe when he was alive he didn't, but we're talking like historical here already. I mean, there is the power of the Marad Asra, but the Beis Yosef is talking hundreds of years later. Right? It's not like everyone followed the Rosh for 200 years where the Rosh lived. Right? He is trying to get a Klali Psak many hundreds of years after these people are dead. I don't know. Okay. Fine. So, these Menhagim, so then you have to figure out what exactly are the parameters of these Menhagim and when are they binding. So here I put an article by Baruch Efrati, who summarized a lot of the positions. We'll skim through it. And he says, look, Harajba, Nishal Gavi Minag, Shinagal, Haskel, Tibor, Samir, Zaliyah, Ben, Kadish, Latil, Mariv, Lachin, Mikam, Sivas, Himshik, Kazak, Pokhazi, Mayam, and Davar, Vichenog, Mchomakam, Mulicha, Adam, Davar, Imkan, Rajba, Tolis, Namazal, Khatit, Shalmeg, Bakak, Shalomicha, Adam, Davar. And here we see an example of the Rajba Paskin in a certain way because no one ever challenged it. Heavy Omer, Kim, Shalmansina, Shecha, Mitamid, Chomim, Mavar, Machalkach, Haresh, Zuvada, Isa, Daitam. If no one ever challenged it, so presumably it's right. Specifically, and this is what we're coming back to, it is a form of Gilui Milsa. Follow the Minog, not because it's Kovei itself, but because it makes you believe that it's probably right. Mari Cologne says your term for Rosh. It can't be that there would be a minug that would be set up that it's against halacha. If all the chachamim knew about it, it can't be. The next one also, Beis Yosef, And Nikarim Kane, like two paragraphs down. Michevel Aposkum Jubal El, Shatam, Rakazil, Tokfosha, Minag, Gushkikas, Hamidor, Shakonvil, Sanam, Abapsika, Hilchati. So we said one reason to believe that this type of Minag is binding is because if people poskened some way for a long amount of time, that means that there is precedent. It's a form of precedent. And the Yerushalmi says also, if you're not sure what the halacha is, go to the minhag. But we have to ask, now once this is the case, but how far does it go? Meaning, is it only when we're not sure, or even if we're pretty sure that the minhag is wrong, does the minhag push our hand to interpret it even when the halacha seems the other way? So here, if you look, Rav Haigon says, "V'dibei Arabim hiya mochiach al kol mishnah kol gemara." Yosef mikol raya mizeh puk chazi mayim adavar v'zei kar ozanach. The main reason that halacha is binding minhag. V'achar kachon mavitim v'chol adavar shenemar b'gemara binyan hazeh v'miyish b'ozul iskamin in oker zei kar imkain mifurashot kosev Rav Haigon shekol kol chashul gemara he maskam as a tibor. He said, "Look, halacha itself and the notion that we accept the gemara per se." Is based on the haskama hatzibur of the tzibur, the agreement of the tzibur. So in theory, had we been knowing something else, the minhag would have been okay the halacha because the halacha would have been different. So therefore, became a tzibur. So Rav Haigon really goes very far, and Rav Haigon says, "Look." In theory, yes, minhag can't go against halacha, but it could even, in theory, go against the Gemara, because if we follow the Gemara, because that was the minhag of our avos to follow the Gemara, so if the minhag went against it, we wouldn't. Most people challenge this and don't go that far, but the Ma'arik says that, look, minhag asosos halacha, ta'kev l'chein yeh l'lechat al-piv, amnam ha-ravad, yivar-emik, em b'tanai shalachot posik echad sober k'minhag, the Ma'arik holds that a minhag is sosar halacha, but only, the Maharik himself says, only if it's a minhag shenitkan al pi vasikin, a minhag that was set up by Chachamim, and the Ramah says, and I think this really is what the Maharik is saying, that look, if there is a postek who says something, so then you can follow it. And if the minhag was set up by postkim, presumably that's because they thought it was mutter, so even if it's a shitas yachid, you can follow it. The shitas harash, toin shekotuk shal minhag yikar chakam eisurim, but the Rush says what's pretty mistaber, which is that if it's actually usher, you can't follow it. Skip down, Olmi Kasha Rush, towing Marik. And the end of the day, he basically said the same to the Marik, that if it's actually usher, that's not a minhag. But if it was set up by Vasikin, it was set up by Tamid Chachamim, we can assume it's not actually usher, it's just relying on a position that you wouldn't have in a vacuum relied on. Then the last part here, Shulchan Aruch Ramah, Bidas Marana Shulchan Aruch Nir Shabazak Kefi Shabazak Amarik. Shadai B'Pozak Echad Hatir Afilo Yisrei Torah Im Kach Nagu. Shulchan Aruch seems to follow this, that if there's even one minority position, but the minhag is to follow it, you are allowed to follow it, and that is the Ramah as well. So, and you can look here, Moshe has in his example where he assumes that in his tshuva about a matring whiskey, that since he sees that people are makil, it must be that we rely on the makil shita, and that must be right. Okay, so to summarize this third part, we talked about minhag makom, then we talked about minhag avos. The most sort of powerful part of minhag, though, is not neither of those, is minhag in horah, is the minhag to force us to follow a specific position in Psak. Now, Minhag HaMakom can bind you in a very, very real halachic way. But the question is, even when you're not dealing with real Minhag HaMakom, can it? Now here I think it's for sure true, because look, all it means is that the Minhag of people is to follow a certain way, and therefore that gives it credence. Right? Either it's binding Midin Minhag, or more likely, the fact that people did it, including Tamid HaChamim, makes us assume that it's probably right. So we can quibble, right? The Ma'arik, the Ramah say, look, as long as I can find the shita they're relying on, then I can rely on it. Because I can say, look, I might not have in a vacuum said that that's how we paskin, but it is a possible shita, and Minhag Yisrael to follow it, so we paskin like it. It is actually against the halacha, so most people say that then we really do have to uproot the Minhag. But you see, Rav Haigon doesn't think that Rav Haigon goes much farther. Now, why would this be the case? Very, very quickly. Why would it be the case? There's no really good reason for this. One is simply a probability issue. Is that, look, if Klal Yisrael followed it, Klal Yisrael is not stupid, and okay, so it's only one Rav, but it's also all of Klal Yisrael and all the Chachamim who lived among them, they passed in that way. Okay, you looking at the paper trail, it doesn't seem like it's the Rav, you're wrong. Right? This is the most likely Shita, because there is that lay level, there is that, you know, second tier Talmud Chacham. This is what people did, so presumably it's right. A lot of people point to the Gemara, in Nevi'im Heim B'nei Nevi'im Heim, and say, well, maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's that Hashem guides Pesach. And one of the ways He guides Pesach is through Minhag. So if it turns out de facto that people are knowing a certain way, so we assume it's right, unless we really, really know otherwise, even if it means we have to rely on a minority position. The Rav I put here in Nevesh HaRav suggests this. He has a slightly different formulation, but it comes to the same thing, which is Ha-Historia Kova'at, that history sometimes tells us what's right. And again, it's that notion that God is sort of guiding the hand of Pesach through it. Now, I saved to the end just the Shittas Rambam. The Rambam actually thinks that the first type of Minhagim we're talking about, the Chumras, that actually falls under Lotasur. Right? That's not just Stam, right? That type of minhag is much harder to base. It might be midin neder. The Rambam goes much farther and says, actually, it's from lotasur, because at the end of the day, as we said, minhag, like the chumra type of minhag, is a way of protecting the Torah. So therefore, it might fall into lotasur, like gedarim and siragim. Okay. So again, to summarize one more time, the minhag we know exists in the Gemara is minhag amakom. Minhag avos, much harder to base unless you're actually transplanting a community. When we're talking about minhag, we talk about two things. We're talking about minhag of chumros, which are either binding midin neder, or if you're the Rambam, it's actually binding midin lotasur. Then there's what we call minhag ha'ra, a minhag to follow a certain psak. That exists on a binding level by minhag amakom, in a less binding level, but in the sense that it gives us a predisposition to pask in a certain way, even by minhag avos, and kal vachomer, when we're talking about minhag klal Yisrael. What drives that? Either it's an assumption that it's right, either because the Chachamim set it up, or because God Himself is guiding the hand of Pesach. There is the Rav Haigon, which goes farther and says, look, in the end of the day, our entire halachic system is built on Haskama, so if we choose to do something else, in theory it could be binding also. Most people reject that. The most basic position is that Minhag is something that is a very strong factor in Pesach. If we know it's wrong, but barring that, we give it a lot of weight. Exactly how much weight is subject to Machlokes, but what is undeniable that it does have a strong role in predisposing us to a certain position. Okay.